Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings and thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. And we thank you for all the beautiful days that, and even the cloudy days that make us appreciate the pretty ones more. And Lord, we thank you for this time of year that we can see the colors and the changing. We thank you for your handiwork and for all that you've done and that you've given us. You've given us all things richly to enjoy, and it brings honor and glory to thee, your creative ability, your kindness to us. Thank you for these folks. Thank you for their faithfulness to this time. We do pray that others would come and be a part of this Sunday school hour. And Lord, we pray that your will be done in our lives, and bless this passage. Help us, Lord, to understand. Give us a teachable heart and help us to follow your word, obey your word. And we'll thank you for all you do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 11 and 12. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now, if you would kind of hold your place there, and we'll probably go back and forth. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12, if you would. Hebrews chapter 12. We have the Apostle Paul, or whoever the author of the book of Hebrews was. We do know it's the Word of God given by the Lord. And so, really doesn't matter in one respect who the human author was, especially since they didn't say who it was. We're going to begin reading in verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 12, and we have the Lord, I guess you'd say, developing this thought or revealing more details about the subject of correction or chastisement. Let's begin reading with verse 5. It says, And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Please note that, children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. So a lot said here about chastening. The word chastening is a word, the definition means to train, to educate, to discipline, to reprove, and to correct. Now that covers a lot of territory, doesn't it? Train, educate, discipline, reprove, and correct. Whenever I think about the term reproving and correct, I think of 2 Timothy 3:16 about the Word of God, about being reproved and correct for instruction in righteousness. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. Reproving is where God tells us where we got off the road. Correction is Him telling us how to get back on. So keep that in mind as you look at the term reprove. Reproving is a telling or a God giving us and telling us where we went wrong, where we disobeyed Him. A reproof. A correction is bringing us back to the place where we should be, walking on the right path, going in the right direction. Now, all through this passage, both passages, it's talking about, it gives the example of the father and son relationship, father and child relationship. He says he speaks unto us as unto children. Let's go back and read the passage in Proverbs chapter 3 once again. He says, now this is Solomon speaking to his son. He says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth." Several things that are revealed to us about chastening, and so I'll share some verses with you and some thoughts along the way. First of all, it tells us who our Father is. Now, in this world, in this life, you're either a child of God or a child of Satan or a child of the devil. You say, a child of the devil, what does that mean? Well, that means that you have not been born again into the family of God. Those that have not been born into the family of God are the children considered called the children of the devil. Not by birth, but by sinful nature, by the direction, by the path, by being lost. You say, I don't understand that. Well, there's things about that that we do not understand, but we understand the condition that we're in. A lost sinner in the sight of God is lost. They're not His child. Right. And therefore, when we are chastened, chastening is only for those who are God's children. Mm-hmm. And so a couple of things about that. I mean, the example is that I don't chasten my neighbor's children. Mm-hmm. Now, back in the day, you could. Back in when I was a kid, my neighbors could give me a spanking if they thought I needed it. Because yeah. My mom and dad would have said, "Thank you," and did it again.
Yeah. That's right. Amen.
But nowadays, I mean, the basic thought is that you don't spank the neighbor's children. You don't. I mean, you're so. If you might be able to reprove them a little bit by saying, "Hey, don't be doing that. That's wrong. Should be doing this." That's reproof and correction. Could be doing that. But it tells us who our Father is, being born in the family of God. And it's a place of identity, yes. But it's a place of fellowship. It's a place of relationship. There's a relationship that has been established. By the way, that relationship with my Heavenly Father cannot be broken any more than the relationship of my earthly father. I'm a child of my Father in this world, and there's nothing I can do to change that.
Right.
I'm a child of my Heavenly Father, and there's nothing I can do to change that.
Right.
But in the same way, as far as fellowship is concerned, I could break the fellowship with my earthly father by disobeying him. The same way with my Heavenly Father, I can break fellowship with my Heavenly Father by disobeying Him.
Mm-hmm.
So the maintenance of fellowship is on me, not on the Lord. It's my responsibility because He hasn't went anywhere. Mm-hmm. If I get away from the Lord, I'm the one who's gotten away from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever hear the story about the husband and wife that pulled up behind the car in front of them? There's a car there at the traffic light, and there in front of them was a car where it had a young couple, and they were sitting close together. And the wife looked over at the husband and said, "Do you remember when we used to sit like that close together? You remember when we used to sit close together like that?" And the husband said, "I haven't moved." It was the wife who had slid over against the door. Husband's still sitting right there behind the wheel. He hadn't went anywhere. Same way with the Lord. He hasn't went anywhere. If we get away from Him, it's us who've gotten away, not Him us. And so it's up to us to maintain the fellowship by confessing our sins and being in fellowship with the Lord. Agreeing with Him about, that's what the word confess means. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's not a license to sin. A confession is agreeing with God. An understanding. I heard a radio broadcast many years ago, and it was another denomination that was the preacher that was on there speaking. And he was making light of 1 John 1:9. He said, "Oh yeah." He said, "Whenever you sin, just 1 John 1:9 it. Just 1 John 1:9 it. Like, you know, it's no big deal." Well, as far as sin is concerned, sin is a big deal.
Amen.
Because that's why what Christ died for. It is a big deal. But there is forgiveness. And if we find ourselves going to confess a sin over and over and over, we realize that there's a problem there. And Lord, ask the Lord, please help me with this. Amen. We recognize there's an issue that needs to be dealt with seriously. Now, it tells us, chastisement tells us who our Father is. Also, it tells us that our Father loves us. Now, in our passage over here in Hebrews, of course, talking about the fact that he says, if you be without chastisement, then are you illegitimate. You're not his. You belong to someone else. And then verse 9 says, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto our Father, unto the Father of spirits, and live? Notice that word. That last word, verse 9, it says, live. We like to live, don't we? I had a friend, he's with the Lord now, but he was on staff at a church that I was on staff at many, many years ago. And he'd come in the morning, I'd say, hey, Dean, how you doing? He said, I woke up breathing this morning.
Amen.
That's good. He's alive. He was alive. This chastisement, we need to see a progression here that it is possible to go from the Lord just reproving us, correcting us verbally until he has to do something to us. And for the child of God, there's so many different ways he can get our attention. What God is trying to do is get our attention. He's not trying to, and the word punish, I don't like to use in conjunction with chastisement, because a punishment has to do, in my mind, especially scripturally, we're talking about a payment. Christ paid our sin debt on the cross. So chastisement is the goal here is correction. And you see here in these passages, pretty much for the most part, it's a positive thing. Don't be discouraged about it. Don't let it bother. It's not joyous right now, it's grievous when it's taking place, but afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And so the thought of it starts out with God telling us, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Or you did this. And then what happens? Do we obey him? Do we confess? Do we agree with him? Or do we continue to do that which is wrong? I look at it like this. Now, my son had his 39th birthday yesterday. And he's moving right along. I told him if he keeps having birthdays, he's going to catch up with me. He said, no, Dad, you'll always be older than me. I said, thank you. Well, if my son, when he was little, was outside and he had a stick and he was whopping off the top of his mom's flowers, and I'm in the house and I look out the window and I see him do that, and I open the door and I said, hey, Ben, stop that. What are you doing? You know better than that. Okay, go back in. Look out the window and he's doing it again. And I go to the door a second time. And whether depending on his age, depending on how clear I was the first time, he's doing it again. I either warn him or I spank him or something else. Something just short of the death penalty. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I have to remember I'm being recorded. And so my son, I go back inside, start doing something, and look out, and he's doing it again. And you think, well, he's pretty dense, isn't he? He didn't get it. I told him. I spanked him. I corrected him, both verbally and corporal punishment-wise. What do I do now? Do I go out and spank him again? No, this is what I do. I open the door. I say, hey, you come in here and you sit down right by me, because I know you'll behave yourself right here. And you know that's what the Lord has to do with his children sometimes. Because if they don't obey him, his word, depending, you see, to whom much is given, much is required. I don't expect, if I got away from the Lord, to be away from the Lord long before He dealt with me very severely. Because I know better. And if I continued, then I believe He'd take me home. Because of this verse right here, you wonder about Ananias and Sapphira. They got took home pretty quick, didn't they? I think they knew better. I think they knew better than lying to the Lord, lying to the Holy Spirit. You see, I think it is possible, and you say, well, is that the sin unto death? It probably is what the Bible refers to as a sin unto death. Where I am being more of a stumbling block here in this life to those who know that I have I testify that I'm a Christian and that I know the Lord, but I'm not living like I know the Lord. And how much influence. You see, the bigger the tree in the forest that falls, the more little ones are knocked down. So I'm not saying I'm a big tree. I'm saying that I've been in it for a long time, and a lot of folks know that I've been serving the Lord for a long time. And I don't expect that I could live very long out of the will of the Lord, being away from the Lord. I just feel that way. Now, in this passage, it tells us that who our Father is. But secondly, it tells us that our Father loves us. So this correction that He gives to us is not because He's mad at us. It's because He loves us. Now, I'm sure it bothers Him and He's disappointed. But He's not trying to do it because He's not punishing us because He gets some kind of kick out of it. By the way, let's look at that verse there in Hebrews chapter 12 again, because I want to make sure that we understand that this verse. It says in verse 9, furthermore, we have had fathers. Well, let's look down verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. That word pleasure does not mean that they got a kick out of it. Now, I know there are people who are abusive. No, we're not talking about being abusive whatsoever. We're talking about just and right and proper discipline. And that's what it's talking about here, after their own understanding or judgment, their own conclusion that they've came to. But you know, being an earthly father, we don't always know all the facts. We try to be fair, and we try to be right, but it's not always possible. But the Lord is. The Lord knows it all. He knows where we've went astray. He knows what we need to be corrected or chastened. He knows that. He does it because He loves us. Why does our earthly Father chasten us? Because they love us. I told my children many times, I said, listen, if I didn't care anything about you, I wouldn't say a word to you. I'd just let you go your own merry way, do your own thing, hurt yourself, whatever. You see, a child playing with something dangerous, what do? If they're yours, you take swift action. If they're somebody else, you take swift action. If they're playing with a gun or a knife or something, some kids are playing with matches, or you got to do something. Amen. Get the parents, find somebody, do something to keep them from hurting themselves. Why do you care about them? You don't want them to hurt themselves. But especially our own children, we have to do that. We have that inward responsibility. Well, the Lord has that inward responsibility because we belong to Him. We identify with Him. We're born into His family. Now, if you would look back to chapter 3 of Proverbs for just a moment. He says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of His correction. And Pastor mentioned something not long ago, and I've said it myself, but I've never heard any other preacher say anything about this, is the fact that when the Lord corrects us, He lets us know why we're being corrected. I've known folks for many years, people have said, I don't know if the Lord's doing this, correcting me or not. Well, if He is, you'll know. And you'll know why. Why would He correct us and not tell us why He's doing it? Secondly, another thought that comes to mind here, we need to be very careful about saying or observing or making the statement that about somebody else that the Lord's chastening them because of their life. Well, that may be true. He may be doing it, but it is between them and the Lord, and we don't know the extent of it unless they tell us. Now, sometimes folks will tell you, I know the Lord is chastening me. I know the Lord is correcting me. I know that He's doing this. I've had that happen several times. But then many times folks will say, I don't know. I don't know why this is happening. Well, if we don't know why it's happening, then it's not chastening. And also this, please understand, there is a difference between this chastening that we're talking about here and the trial of our faith. For example, Job. Job had done nothing wrong. He was not out of fellowship with God, but he was being tested and tried. He was tested and tried in his physical and in his financial. Everything was taken away. His family. He lost his entire family, even though his wife was still living, because he lost her confidence. Sad. Very sad. He lost it all in one day's time. And that was testing. That was not chastisement. Now, there are some that will say that that's part is trying to accomplish the same thing. No, the testing of our faith is to make us a stronger Christian. The chastisement that we receive from the Lord is correction for us getting out of fellowship with the Lord. And you see, let me give you some of these verses. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Repent. If a sin has not been committed, there will be no need for repentance. But listen to what Job says. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. When there is correcting that needs to be done, be glad that He did it, because it's for our good and for His glory. Psalm 94 and verse 12 says, blessed is the man whom Thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of Thy law. Now, this going to the point of God dealing with us severely. Do you remember the folks over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 11? That were observing the Lord's table, the Lord's supper, in an unworthy manner, unworthily. They were all unworthy of His love and His forgiveness, but they were doing it in an unworthy way. And what did the Lord say about that? In verse 31, He says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." Verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wow. Another evidence there that we belong to the Lord, if when we get out of line, He chastens us. And if we judge ourselves, which is mean keeping ourselves in straight and line in obedience to the word of the Lord, that won't be necessary. Did you know, and in my family, I had three children, they're all different as they could be, and some of them needed more correction than others. One of my daughters, you could look at her and she'd start crying. The other one was strong-willed as she could be, and it took more than just a look. You know the look, you know what I'm talking about, the look?
Oh, yeah.
You're in trouble look? You're in big trouble look. Well, it tells us that who our Father is, tells us that our Father loves us. Thirdly, it gives life to those who obey it. It gives life. That verse back there in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? There's life to be experienced when we serve the Lord, when we obey the Lord, when we follow the Lord. And we don't reject or, as it says over here, despise His chastening, as it says in verse 11 of our text, neither be weary of His correction. Now, What does it accomplish? Well, in fourthly, it produces holiness. Look at the verse here in chapter 12. It says in verse 11, "Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous." I can say amen to that. I never really enjoyed my switchings that I got from my mom. But you know what? Afterward, if I received it properly and my heart was broken and I understood what I did wrong, there was a bond that I enjoyed with my mom that wasn't there. It wasn't as close as it was beforehand. I knew she loved me. I knew that I had hurt her. I knew I had disappointed her. And if it's done properly and right, then there'll be a fruit. There'll be this holiness. He said, produces holiness and it produces righteousness. Now, you say, well, what is the difference between holiness and righteousness? Holiness has to do with our sanctification or not sinning, being holy unto the Lord and being separate from sin. Righteousness is talking about the right things that we do. And again, I like to use the verse because it helps me so much. Walking in paths of righteousness for His namesake, Psalm 23. Walking in paths of righteousness, doing these right things that God leads us in, because He leads us in paths of righteousness. And if we're walking in paths of righteousness, then we're not going to be yielding to the sin that would so easily beset us. The sins of this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life. We're going to be walking in paths of righteousness. Let's read the verses here. It says in verse 11, "Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." This fruit of righteousness. Look at verse 10. It says, "For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of" what? "His holiness." Makes us more like the Lord Jesus. And isn't that what the Lord's will is for our life? Is to become more like the Lord Jesus. No one likes to be spanked. No one likes to be corrected. No one likes to be reproved. So how do we prevent that? By minding the Lord, simple as it can be. Not having a rebellious spirit against the Word of God, the leadership of the Lord, what His Word says. Obeying what He says. And sometimes, you know, it may not be convenient to obey the Lord. And I like to use the example of going to church. It has never been convenient to go to church, and it never will, but we still should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Right. So much the more as we see the day approaching. There's times you didn't feel like going. There's times that you would rather do something else. But when you go and you enjoy the things of the Lord and you hear the Word of God and you get the you think, how could I live without this? It's food. It's nourishment. It's water for our thirsty souls. And so, that's just an example of things. And the devil is so wily. The willies of the devil, the wiles of the devil. He's tricky, isn't he? He works on the weakest part of our Christian life. And so that needs to be made strong. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for Your blessings today. We thank You for this time together. I thank You for loving us enough to correct us and to chasten us and to bring us to a place of obedience. And Lord, we all have different things that we have to deal with from time to time. We all have different burdens and cares and distractions. And Lord, we need Your help every day. And Lord, help us to be quick to listen to when You speak the words of reproof. That may the Spirit of God help us to stay on the right path, to walk in paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. Help us to remember that we represent You by our lives, that we are Christians and we're to be Christ-like. And Lord, help us. Give us the courage, the strength, the wisdom as we realize this is a part of wisdom, of recognizing and obedience and yielding to your correction, responding properly. Help us to never reject it or rebel against it, but say, yes, Lord, and thank you. Lord, I do thank you for the times that you've corrected me. And I'm reminded that you do care, that you haven't forgotten me, that you love me. And Lord, help us to love you more because you first loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.